About Abraham, is there something that you can think about Abraham that is meaningful to you? When you think of Abraham and in the Holy Scriptures, what do you think of? What was that? Confident? Covenant. Okay. Faith. Anything else? Father of all nations. Totally obedient. Most of the time. Kind of like us. Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that. Really, this morning, we want to think about Abraham. I want us to be thinking about his righteousness came through his faith. We think a lot of times, we think about Moses and the law. But before Moses and the law, there was Abraham and his faith. And God and what that meant. And God said, it is by your faith that you have your righteousness. And so we're going to be talking about faith in the next several weeks. And I just want us to kind of center ourselves right there as we go on this journey together. I want to turn to our announcements real quick. Just a preparation for a little bit later in the service. It is Coin Sunday, so we'll be receiving those. So have your coins ready. Mary Martha is back. They're going to be meeting tomorrow. And so make sure, ladies, if you don't have it on a calendar, you should put it on your calendar. It is a great event and a time for you to get together. Also, Dorcas Circle will be meeting this week on Tuesday. And we will be having the men will be the following week, as will the Women's United Circle. Also, I wanted to talk about our Shawnee Mentor Ministry. In your bulletin, there is an information sheet that talks about this ministry. And on the back of it, I've already filled mine out because I was a participant last year in the mentorship program at Shawnee. And basically, it's just an opportunity to spend 1 hour a week with a student who needs to have some consistency and some stable adults in their lives. And so this is something that the school has asked for. We talked to them a year ago about what they needed most, and this is what they said. They needed this mentoring program to continue. They already had some going, but they said, we can take as many people as you can provide. We have that many students that need some kind of support, emotional, just like I said, a steady presence. So it is a weekly commitment, but only for 1 hour. And you can kind of let us know what hour works for you. And when we give the information to the school, they'll be able to take that information and be able to align that up with a particular student. And you would stay with that student throughout the year. If you want any more information, let me know, and we can try to guide you, answer your questions. But go ahead and fill that out if you have any interest, any thought about it, and put it in the offering plate, and we will be able to see what kind of response we have and let the school know. I think that's enough for now. Let us prepare for worship as we go into our time with the prelude.
Thank you, Marianne. That was beautiful. Please stand for our call to worship. From the rising to the setting sun, in the perfect beauty all around us, when we worship with acts of love and mercy, God is pleased to give us the kingdom. Now please remain standing, if you're able, for our opening hymn, Faith While Trees Are Still in Blossom, hymn number 508 in your hymnal or on the screens. Be seated. Please join with me in our opening prayer. God of Abraham and Sarah, God of Jesus Christ, God of our mothers and fathers, you are a God who acts in history. Yet we confess that we are too busy with our own lives to perceive you at work in our time. We fall into fear and despair about our troubled world, as if you had no care for us. Forgive our lack of faith and help us to join you as you labor to bring new life on earth. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Okay, if the children can come forward. And Sandy, if you can come forward. The first thing we do, this is a lesson on how to give back with some deeds. We're going to do some small things to help. And then I guess my brief talk is sometimes we can be prayerful and give back to God with our deeds. So I think there's some shoes still out there, right?
No. She can tell you how many.
So is there shoes out there? That usually we cart them in, don't we?
We've got a sample size because there's way too many.
Really? Isn't there some on the cart in the bag?
Yeah.
I would like all three of you guys to go get at least one package of a bag or a shoe out there. Is it in the narthex?
Yep.
All right, and then bring them in. This is what we've done in the past. Look at Will knows it. Will's done this before. He's ready to cart them in. Is there another card out there, Will? Do we leave them here or do we put them on the altar?
Just bring them around.
Okay.
And this isn't all of them, is it, Sandy?
So now I'm going to pass this on to Sandy because we are very grateful and excited and Sandy is going to be the testament to that, about shoes for the shoeless.
There are 144 shoes being given away this coming Saturday. That is a record. And I want to say a huge thank you to everyone who participated in this program, either buying shoes or multiple shoes. A lot of people took more than one little footprint and bought several shoes, or whether you gave money or whether you helped last Saturday or are willing to help this coming Saturday. Thank you so much. This church has just been wonderful to help our community be certain that our kids have shoes as they go to school.
Do we need help on Saturday still?
Yes, we need help on Saturday to put 144 shoes on those feet. If anybody wants to help, come on down at 9, a little bit before 9, because we usually have people lined up outside waiting for their shoes, and it is a joy to watch these kids get their shoes on their feet and go like this, and, you know, especially the ones that light up. So if anybody wants to help on Saturday, just come on down, like I said, a little bit before 9 o'clock, and we'll put those shoes on those kids' feet.
Thank you, Sandy. So this is one of the missions that we contribute to, and there's several other missions that we also give back to, sometimes with our actions and our deeds, guys. Sometimes we volunteer, like this next Saturday we could volunteer. Sometimes we can kind of give our money and our financial gifts back to these missions. So we are going to go collect coins for missions on Sunday, and then we're going to bring them back. We'll put these buckets on the altar, and then we'll bless in a prayer all of these missions and what has been given in the name of God. Okay, so let's go get some coins. It's coins for missions, and we also take bills. I don't know if you have time to write a check.
Not to pay your bills.
No. Yeah,
paper, dollar bills.
Not to pay your bills. Okay, does anybody else have some coins? Oh, man, we have a lot. Luke, look at, there's some hands raised. Okay, I just learned a couple things. I just learned that even tweenagers, and youth could volunteer at Shoes for the Shoeless. That's good to know. Okay, we are going to say a blessing. I guess if anybody else wants to come up and bless with us,
come on up.
You can come on up. Lord Jesus, thank you for giving us the opportunity to be just like you and be a light in the world for you and your church by giving back to the community with our actions, our prayers, and our financial giving. So please bless these and make these work to the best for the community of Xenia. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. guys.
All right, we do have a sign.
We have it? Yes.
Oh, I'm going to get you something else. Oh, there's that. Okay. All right. Thank you. Okay, please join with us in our prayer hymn, Take Time to Be Holy, hymn number 395 in your hymnal.
Before we go into our time of prayer together, I'm going to invite Chad to come on over for a minute from our staff parish for a little time.
So we wanted to just take a moment today to really thank and really, I guess, thank and really validate Melody Kelly's time in service to our church over the past 2 years. And so in a moment, I was going to ask Barry and Melody Kelly to come up so we can and say a prayer and blessing. And you can come up now if you'd like. I'll come to you. Pastor and I wanted to share the thanks of our congregation and SBRC for your 2 years of service as choir director. We love you. We really appreciated the love and the joy and the kindness that you brought to this church and to the job that you did as choir director for us. And you as a family, and Aria, and Barry and Melody, being part of this church, we value your leadership as choir director in that 2 year time span, but also just your being a member of our church and being able to kind of just come in and be part of it. And I guess my only other thing I wanted to add before we say a short prayer and blessing is we would love to have from time to time, if you'd ever want to share your talents and your musical talents with us, and please feel free to come back and still remain part of our church family, because we really appreciated that melody. And now we're going to share a brief blessing, right?
Yep.
And I guess at this time, if anybody wants to come up with the Kelly family and come up and just say a blessing with them, I always think that there is strength in numbers, and it is just moments like this that are good.
Thank you.
That's right. Melody said, the more the merrier. Yeah. Carol, you're in this group in spirit. You want to come. It's hard. The speaker doesn't go that direction, I don't think. I knew Carol would want to come forward too. Yeah.
That's okay. Holy ground. There we go. Let us pray. Amazing God, we are grateful for how you work in each and every one of us. But Lord, we ask that you would pour out a blessing upon Melody and Barry on this day as they look to the future. Lord, we are grateful for who they are as followers of you. There is no denying their faith. So we just ask that you would continue to work in them, to help them to be able to be in ministry in so many different ways as they continue to pour out their love onto others. So may the love that we've received be put back on them, that they would be able to share this love that we give back to them with all around them. Encourage them, give them strength, give them power in their relationship, and give them healing of their souls in many ways, body, mind, and soul. So we just send them on to what is next. Whatever that may be for them, Lord, we ask for the blessing to be one that they will see and experience and give you the glory. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Let us continue in just a moment of prayer as we consider once again faith and how we are all here because of faith. And let us go to the Lord in prayer acknowledging this. Amazing God, we also come to you just acknowledging that each and every one of us has experienced your grace. It is by your grace that we are able to walk each and every day in a new way. Because it is through faith that we experience a renewal, a reconciliation, and a rebirth, a new birth in you that gives us a whole new vision, one that extends well beyond our own selves and expands to the globe and beyond, even to the heavens. Because, Lord, when our eyes are on the heavens, we can see your Son sitting at your right hand. It is through our trust in Him that we are able to be able to become like Him and to understand how our faith can do so much through your power. Without faith, we have nothing. It is in our faith that we have our righteousness in you. It is in you. In your power that we become who you want us to be. Give us that power to be a light to the world, just as we've talked about today, with the sharing of our resources, including ourselves. And may you in all things receive glory. Now let us share the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And as we continue with our time of offerings, remember, if you have already filled out that form for the Shawnee Mentoring, go ahead and place that in the offering plate as well. And we can see that as part of giving of ourselves as well as we give our offerings today. Ushers, would you please wait a moment? Thank you. Join now in this prayer of dedication. Faithful and gracious God, you have called us to be a people of hope, to trust in what we cannot see. As we bring these gifts before you, we offer not only our resources, but also our faith. Faith that you are work and are giving, building a future of justice, mercy, and love. Bless these offerings that they may be signs of our trust in your promises. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Our gospel reading comes from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3 and verses 8 through 16. Description of faith. Faith is the reality of what we hope for, the proof of what we don't see. The elders in the past were approved because they showed faith. By faith we understand that the universe has been created by a word from God so that the visible came into existence from the invisible. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was going to receive as an inheritance. He went out without knowing where he was going. By faith we lived in the land he had been promised as a stranger. He lived in tents along with Isaac and Jacob, who were co-heirs of the same promise. He was looking forward to a city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, even Sarah received the ability to have a child, though she herself was barren and past the age of having children, because she believed that the one who promised was faithful. So descendants were born from one man, and he was as good as dead. They were as many as the number of the stars in the sky and as countless as the grains of sand on the seashore. All these people died in faith without receiving the promises, but they saw the promises from a distance and welcomed them. They confessed that they were strangers and immigrants on earth. People who say this kind of thing make it clear that they are looking for a homeland. If they had been thinking about the country that they had left, they would have had the opportunity to return to it. But at this point in time, they are longing for a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God isn't ashamed to be called their God. He has prepared a city for them. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
So the word faith, when you hear it, what comes to mind? Do we think about a specific religion like Christianity, Judaism, Islam? Maybe it's a specific denomination, the United Methodist, Baptist, Lutheran. Perhaps our thoughts go directly to a person in our lives who we can count on to be there and do what they say they will do. All these things are appropriate. Today and the next three Sundays, we are going to attempt to clarify that our faith is more than an ideology or a set of practices. During these 4 weeks, we will be using the book of Hebrews, which was written to Jewish Christians that were spread out across the known world at the time. It was a difficult time for all Christians, and many, especially the Jewish Christians, were considering reverting back to their Jewish religiosity and setting aside their freedom they found in Christ Jesus. Let's say their faith was challenged when Jesus had not yet returned, and they were constantly faced with ridicule, hardship, and outright persecution. Today, being Christian, especially here in the United States, we may not experience the same kind of persecution that the early Christians did. But our faith in Christ still receives cultural resistance. And like them, we anticipate, or we should be, the coming of Jesus. This letter of Hebrews provides encouragement to be faithful as God is faithful. So in our sermon series, we will first address faith as being a way of life. Then we will discuss how faith is enduring and unshakable before acknowledging how faith inspires us to act. So let's begin with the working definition of faith as understood by the author of the book of Hebrews and was demonstrated by the Hebrew Jewish elders. And we've read it. It says, faith is the reality of what we hope for, the proof of what we don't see. If we recall, Paul to the Ephesians declared that it is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ that we are saved. Our hope is freedom from sin and life eternal in the presence of God. This reality is ours by faith. A faith that is a way of life. And to help us embrace this kind of faith, I want to share four foundations of a lifetime of faith in God. These foundations come from witnessing the lives of the men and women of our faith story that are shared in the Holy Scriptures. That's where the author of Hebrews turned to when writing this letter to give the early Christians encouragement to be faithful. The author of Hebrews sets up the first pillar of foundation, writing this: by faith, we understand that the universe has been created by a word from God, so that the visible came into existence from the invisible. This should be familiar. This comes straight from Genesis, from the creation story. We must start from somewhere, so why not the beginning? God is the beginning of our faith. God is the beginning of everything. It is by God's prevenient grace, that is, God's love that pursues us, that we consider that there is something or someone that exists before all that we see existed, including us. We didn't create the heavens and the earth. We know this. But if not us, who? Who created everything so meticulously and ordered it all precisely to sustain life? And who continues to work in our lives to overcome the darkness of evil that thrives in and through our sinfulness? It is God. A life of faith believes in God as creator, sustainer, and redeemer. This is the same belief of the Hebrew people. The primary difference is that we now believe Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, crucified, buried, and risen, is the way of salvation. Jesus gives us new life and eternal reconciliation with God. This belief is the launching pad for a life of faith. And then to stay with the metaphor just for a moment, if belief is the launching pad, then this next pillar of foundation is the rocket boosters that propel us forward. The author of Hebrews turned to Abraham as an example of someone who was able to take off in a life of faith, writing, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was going to receive as an inheritance. He went out without knowing where he was going. At the point of Abraham's call, he already had a relationship with God that was grounded in belief. Belief of God Almighty, creator and sustainer of heaven and earth. Abraham's relationship with the Lord, it couldn't have been distant, far removed kind of a relationship. Because we are introduced to Abraham in Genesis, and when we are introduced to him, it begins like this: the Lord said to Abraham. And Abraham didn't freak out when the Lord spoke to him. Rather, he heard and he responded to the Lord's call to leave his land, his people, and go to the land the Lord would show him. To leave everything. He knew to go to the great unknown. It took much more than belief in God. The second pillar of our foundation of a life in faith is trust in God and the revealed Word of God. To go in faith, we must trust the source of our faith. So what would it take for you to leave everything and go? Would believing you heard a call be enough? Wouldn't you want to know the source and trust what the source says would be real? To help illustrate the impact of trust, to give us the power to move forward, Has anyone received an email or a text recently from someone saying that they would give you an access to a large sum of money if only you would give a gift card of $100 to release the funds? Has anybody had one of those recently? Hopefully, before you would send a gift card, you would check the source and make sure it was trusted. A trusted source that could deliver. Trust in God is built over time through an intimate relationship based on the witness of the Word of God found in the Scriptures, but also through the witness of other believers and our own experience as we open ourselves to a Word from God. See, God speaks. God speaks to us through our prayers, our meditations on the Scriptures, our conversations with each other, and our circumstances that cause us to look beyond ourselves for understanding. Without trust in God and trusting the Word of God speaking into our lives, we don't have a life of faith. We only have belief in God or belief in Jesus Christ. So far as we shared about a life of faith being grounded in belief, which is a matter of the mind, and motivated by trust, which is a matter of the heart. Well, you know what? It turns out that a life of faith isn't for the faint of heart. This was made clear when the author of Hebrews noted the journey that Abraham experienced in his life of faith in God, following his call from God to go to the land that God would show him. Hebrews 11, 9 through 10 reads, "By faith he lived in the land he had been promised as a stranger. He lived in tents along with Isaac and Jacob, who were co-heirs of that same promise. He was looking forward to a city that has foundations whose architect and builder is God." The promise God made with Abraham and then to his son and his grandson was they would inherit the land they were taken to. Three generations of Abraham's family living a life of faith. And not one of them lived to see the day when the Hebrew people would call the land of promise theirs. They all lived in the land, but they were strangers. Strangers in the land of promise. Throughout their lives, however, they stayed on the journey of faith, with their eyes on a time when they would experience life in God's presence and the place God prepared for them. This makes me think about Jesus' encouragement to His disciples when He was facing crucifixion. Maybe you'll remember this. He was assuring them, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Because I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." See, throughout our journey, our eyes are to be looking forward to the time Jesus returns to take us to be with Him, to fully experience God's presence, all the while living a life of faith, trusting God's Word through Christ will come true. It is this truth that keeps us going, even when we feel like a stranger in a foreign land and the promise we have is unrealized. The third pillar of our foundation of a life of faith is fidelity throughout our journey. If we trust that Jesus is faithful, then we must remain faithful to the Lord. We give our life to Christ to continue the work of transforming our hearts and life to be like His. We can't abandon the Lord because life gets hard and our expectations of what life should be aren't met. We must remember that there are forces of evil working against the Lord's purposes. But as Paul reminds us in his letter to the Ephesians, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ Jesus. Nor can anything prevent God from fulfilling God's promises. But we are the ones who face this temptation of infidelity. However, by keeping our eye on Jesus and in the power of the Holy Spirit, we can resist this evil. You see, trust and infidelity and fidelity, go hand in hand in a relationship. It is trust that invites fidelity, and fidelity that strengthens and builds trust. In a faithful relationship, both parties can depend on one another to work toward the future hope. The author of Hebrews highlighted Sarah and Abraham's relationship with God to encourage the Christian community to remain faithful to the Lord. Writing for us to remember, by faith even Sarah received the ability to have a child, though she herself was barren and past the age of having children, because she believed that the one who promised was faithful. So descendants were born from one man, and he was as good as dead. Abraham and Sarah had spent a lifetime of faith in God, building trust. When God approached, promised them a child, and they would be the father and mother of nations, their faithfulness to the Lord was admirable. Considering when that time came, Sarah was 90 and Abraham was 100 when Isaac was born. At first, if you remember, Sarah and Abraham laughed at God. They laughed at God because it was unheard of persons of their age having children, not to mention Sarah had not been pregnant in all of her years. But by faith, they submitted to the Lord. The fourth pillar of our foundation of a life of faith is submitting to the agency of God. You may be asking, what is the agency of God? It is God's work and will being carried out for God's purposes, including using us as agents. Throughout the Bible, we see God working through various people and creatures. God can do whatever God wants. But the Lord has chosen to work through people, through us. This reality isn't something that only happened in biblical times. The Lord continues to use people living a life of faith to fulfill the purposes of God. The Holy Spirit is our guide and the source of power to complete the work through us. We can't do it on our own. It is not our work. It is the Lord's. So by faith we submit to the Lord as willing participants. This is a daily, even moment by moment, submission for anyone who walks with the Lord in a life of faith. Well, there the foundations are set of our four pillars of a life of faith. They are belief, trust, fidelity, and agency. And when we stand on this foundation, we can stand with the heroes of our faith, fully expecting the reality of what we hope for. Because as far as we're concerned, our faith is the proof of what we do not see. Amen.
Please stand for our closing hymn, How Firm a Foundation, hymn number 529 in your hymnal.
Faith is our foundation for all things. It helps us to stand, as we just sang about. It helps us to move forward. It helps us to be an agent of God. So stand on your faith and walk with the Lord. Go in peace in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.